Let us hear the word of God. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set it out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, "Father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. When they had come to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God. You are in awe of God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We call him Father Abraham. In fact, three great faith traditions call him Father Abraham. Abraham is the great ancestor of our Jewish, Muslim, and Christian faiths. In my mind's eye, as the great ancestor, he and the young strapping King David are as close as we come to superheroes in the Bible. I've always pictured Abraham in one of two ways. I don't know if you remember that image. Here, I've got a picture of it. That image of the Lord God Creator reaching out to Adam at the top of the Sistine Chapel. This is one of the ways I've always imagined Abraham. Muscular, confident, strong, wise. This to me is one of my images for Father Abraham. The second one that I have in mind I found several years ago. And it's kind of fun. In this image, he looks like a 60-something hooded Bond, James Bond. He's wise, he's ready for anything, he's smart, he's virile, he's a man's man. This is Bond. Abraham is 007. In reality, Father Abraham, the father of the multitudes, of the millions, revered by three great faith traditions, is in fact well over 100 years old when the Lord God calls out to him in today's passage. "Abraham, take your son, your beloved son, take him to the mountain and offer him as a burnt sacrifice." 100 years of wisdom, 100 years of experience could not have ever prepared him for this. Take that son whom you waited for dozens and dozens of years. Kill this miracle son simply because the Lord God has commanded you to do so. There is no way this old man is feeling brawny or powerful or sly or virile or whiny or wily. Abraham suddenly feels all of his 100-plus years. Worn to the bone, bewildered, more confused and hurt and numb in these few moments than in all of his previous dozens of years. Numb and dumb with obedience, Abraham begins to climb the mountain. I'm picturing now a very different Abraham. Rail thin, stooped with age. He has decades of age on his face. His face's arms are, his arms are toothpick thin. His face is sagging under the weight of all the years and the weight of what's facing him. And eyes are constantly leaking a trail of tears as the old man and the boy trudge up the mountain. He doesn't at all resemble Mr. Incredible right now. No hint of Bond swagger. This is an old man, numb. And he's slipping and he's tripping and he's dragging himself up a mountain. He's so frail and weak that he literally lets his son do all the heavy lifting, laying the wood for the burnt offering on the boy. He himself is carrying the two instruments of destruction, fire and knife. And the old man is suddenly startled out of his grief. Father! Yes, my son. We have the wood and we have the knife and we have the fire, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And suddenly Abraham finds in himself a glimmer of hope that he might not even have realized was still there. God will provide. God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. Let's not worry about that right now, son. I'm not even sure Abraham still realized he had that glimmer of hope inside of himself that day as he climbed up the mountain, but there it was. Deep within him is this flash of hope that comes that the Lord will provide. And he has that flash of hope because he knows of the God of whom he speaks. Since he was first called all those years ago, Abraham and God have talked. They have debated. They have agreed. They have disagreed. They have negotiated. They have laughed at each other. Abraham has entertained God and his angels. Witness to God, to his wife Sarah and the mysterious priest Melchizedek. Abraham has sinned and fallen short and lied and repented, and God has been faithful to the promises. Abraham has literally followed his own plan, his own wiles, his own will, and God remained faithful as he did his best to remain faithful. Abraham has been strong before the Lord. He's been humbled. God has promised him this son, this beloved son whom he must now kill. And God had promised that this is the father of millions. And Abraham, through the years, has bumped his way to obedience. All of this is in Abraham's heart as he expresses at this low point of his life, as he expresses this glimmer of hope, the Lord will provide. Now, there was a time in my life when I felt like a combination of 007 and Iron Man. It was a summer way back in the day. I was working a great physical job. Lunchtime, I would go run. I was running miles. Every lunchtime, I'd go home at night and work out. I was coming off an internship that everything went great for me and great for the church. That summer, Bob Seger's anthem, Like a Rock, was my hero song. Like a rock, as strong as I could be, like a rock. Nothing else could get to me. And then suddenly, 10 shocking days, my grandfather died. The father of a very good friend of mine, whose dad was the same age as my dad, just died. I totaled my car in an accident that was totally my fault, sending the driver first to the hospital and then to court. Mom had a lump removed from her breast, and the cancer had spread farther than the doctors had anticipated, and I had to tell her elderly sister. The great job that I was just bragging on went sour, and for the first time in my life, just like that, just bad. And for the first time in my life, I hated going to work. The only time in my life. I was shell-shocked. You know that feeling? Just shell-shocked. I wasn't thinking or feeling. I was numb and dumb. And in turn, I was questioning God. And I was angry with God. And then I was angry at myself for being angry with God. And then I was angry at myself for not handling it better. I was a rock. And I literally tuned out everyone who told me. Everywhere I looked, somebody told me. God never gives you more than you can handle. Baloney. I wasn't thinking baloney, but I said baloney. I felt as if the way Father Abraham had to feel, not the horror of sacrificing a son, but a horror of this is too much. This is too much. And then there was a glimmer of hope. Just a glimmer. I didn't even realize I had it in me. The glimmer of hope is that at the end of those horrible 10 days, I went to church. Not because I was pious, not because I was there to pray, not to realize, I didn't go thinking that God would bail me out. I went, it's what I do. It's what I do. And I went to get away from everybody telling me I could handle it all. And I got away from people just because. And our old church, I loved our old churches. I trudged my way there. And our old church had a dark side as well. Physical dark side. And that is where I went and hid. The simple act of being in worship was a glimmer of hope. Maybe it was a faith I wasn't even sure I still believed in at that moment. The act of being in church, going through the motions of worship, was a glimmer of hope. That same glimmer of hope Abraham expressed as he climbed up the mountain and told the boy, "The Lord will provide." We know the story. Abraham and the boy climb the mountain, all the terrors of the hike, then the real terror begins. He binds the boy to the homemade altar with his skinny 100-year-old arm, just as thin as a twig. He raises the knife, shaking from the weight of the knife and the weight of what is about to happen. He can barely see the boy with the tears flowing out. And suddenly Abraham hears the voice of the Lord our God. "Abraham, stop! Abraham, you're a good person. You are faithful. You follow God when it isn't easy. You follow God when you don't want to. Even when in the midst of the most difficult thing you can imagine, God is with you. Abraham, God loves you. God will always provide. Even when you can't imagine getting out of this, God will provide." On the dark side of the sanctuary, I went through the motions of worship. I wasn't aware of whether I was sitting or standing or singing, and I'm sure I even passed a piece I wasn't feeling. And I could barely hear or see what was going on around me, not because it was dark, but because I was literally blinded by my own tears. Some rock, an Iron Man, was getting very rusty. And like our congregation back in the day, we went forward for communion. And I came up for communion. I have no recollection of it. And I remember starting to slide back into the pew. And it was then I heard the voice of God. Like Abraham, God said, "Stop. Don't worry about me." I didn't hear the corporal voice of God. What I did hear was the congregation singing. And they were singing the old hymn based on John 6. Jesus proclaims, "I am the bread of life. You who come to me shall not hunger. You who believe in me, you will live forever." You will live forever, and I will raise you up. And I will raise you up. That morning, God was saying to me, just as he said to Abraham, and I hope this is what you take away today. This is what I want you to hear today. You are good. You are good. You are faithful. You follow God when it isn't easy. You follow God when it's the hardest thing to do. When you especially don't want to, you follow God. When you're in the midst of that which is most difficult, even sometimes coming through these church doors is that which it is most difficult. God is here. God loves. The Lord does provide. Abraham, God is with you. God loves you. God will always provide. Even when we can't imagine it happening, God provides. Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place transliterated. I love that word, transliterated. Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mountain the Lord will provide. I have spent years doing my very best to avoid this passage. I have found this mountain way too high to climb. But I've spent those same years quoting again and again, verse 14, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. The Lord does provide. And this is what the Lord gave me that long ago summer. The lesson that I want you to take away from Abraham and Isaac from this passage. No matter how distraught we may feel, no matter how hard life becomes, the Lord is here. God is in our midst. God does provide. This is the good news of the people of God. I want you this week, I'm going to give you homework. Do an inventory. Do an inventory of your life. Think about those times when it's been great, when it's been hard, and everything in between. Think about the people who have been around you. Thank God for the church and the Bible and those whom you love and those who love you. And think of those times when you've experienced God providing. We got to climb a lot of mountains in our lives. And we can climb every one because God is in our midst. God is here. Christ is here. God's Holy Spirit is here. The God who is and was and will be forever provided for Father Abraham, for Mother Sarah, for Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all the great, dented, beat-up heroes of faith. God provides for you who are good and faithful and struggle and loving and care. If you need Jesus Christ today to provide a glimmer of hope, come to the table. If you're sitting back feeling today as strong as Mr. Incredible, come to the table. If you are some just kind of here, come to the table. If you're any of that, in any situation, God has provided. Come to the table. Know that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He has provided for all of us, now and forever. God is with us. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide.